Peak Wealth Management proudly presents the Trust the Plan podcast with Nick Hopwood and Jim Pilot, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we can help you retire with peak confidence. Now, here are your certified financial planners, Nick and Jim.
Welcome everyone to the Trust the Plan podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Jim.
Jim, it's almost summertime here.
We're due for that nice weather, aren't we?
We are. Graduation party's coming up.
Yeah, I got one of those. I'm not just attending graduation parties this year. I'm going to have to host one. So
outstanding.
Kind of a new thing for me.
Got your catering all squared away?
I think so.
Good.
Excellent. To my wife on that one. She's been working hard.
Excellent. Well, we have the peak summer party coming up here.
Yeah.
I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but we'll have these T-shirts available, the 10-year peak T-shirts. So.
Nice.
Don't miss it.
While supplies last.
That's right. Don't be late. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? You know, there's this kind of sense maybe in the general public. What does a financial advisor do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would say.
They manage investments.
Investments. Right.
It's all about investments. Yeah.
That's partly true.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Partly true. But there are many other things that we do, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look. There we go. All right. Found this on Twitter, courtesy of Max Parshman. Pashman. I don't know. So what people think a financial plan covers, investments, what the plan actually covers, identifying goals. Think of blueprinting.
Mm-hmm.
And we try really hard to get people to fill that thing out, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example of personal goals, but also financial goals, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So retirement goals, like when do you want to retire? A lot of people don't talk about this stuff at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might ask them and they've never actually talked about it between the husband and wife.
Yeah.
Personal cash flow, equity compensation, cash reserves, estate planning, real estate, retirement, insurance, education, taxes. Talk a lot about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Debt. I think if you ask someone on the street, what are the two things that a financial plan covers, the second thing that they would say is retirement.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. Investments and retirement, they kind of go hand in hand, right?
Right.
Because after all, in retirement, you know, your investments, your money are working for you, so you don't have to work. That's the idea.
Yeah. And investments, too, is probably one of the things that most people are just not as comfortable with. You know, they don't know where they should be. They think there's always this perfect investment out there, and an investment guy will know which one it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our job, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it, though. And so cash flow. This is what we talk about. I think it's a foundational topic for building your financial plan. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Most people, they have no clue what their cash flow is like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they know if it's positive or negative, but they can't give you any details. And so we have to really dig to make sure that we get the cost of living down.
Yeah. It's often an underestimated number.
And maybe if we shine a light on cash flow, we can identify opportunities to save and invest more.
Mm-hmm.
And then really get ahead, right?
Yep.
Equity compensation. This is less relevant in Southeast Michigan relative to like California.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have a lot of clients in California who are, you know, dealing with options and restricted stock units. And it can become a huge component of their financial plan.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Cash reserves. So for years, cash reserves were very boring.
Yeah.
Not exciting. But now we got 5% money market rates.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing to add in is just how much do you need to have in reserve? What should your emergency fund be? How much should you have set aside? And it's great that money markets are paying us now, but just helping kind of think through that as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think of a money market as an investment,
mm-hmm.
but I just think of it as your reserve, like this says here. If it's money that's not needed for more than a couple years from now, I think it should be invested. It doesn't have to be aggressive, but
right.
You know, it can be invested. Probably in 2 years, we won't have those money market rates.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
I mean, it doesn't mean they'll be zero, but I don't think it'll be 5%. Mm-hmm. Okay, estate planning. Most people don't realize that when you fill out your IRA paperwork and name beneficiaries, that supersedes your will.
Yeah.
So we're technically doing estate planning every day here. Right? Yeah. Talking about beneficiaries, power of attorney, your will, your trust. One thing that often goes overlooked is the real estate, right, which is next on the list. But, you know, if you are joint ownership, if you have joint ownership in your home and one spouse passes away and you don't take any action and then you pass away, what happens to your house?
Where's the house go?
Yeah, you need
the courts decide.
You need to have a named beneficiary in the form of a trust or a quitclaim deed or a ladybird deed, something like that. Mm-hmm. We always defer to the lawyers. This is not advice. This is just discussion here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Real estate. You know I love talking about real estate.
Yeah. Yeah, and real estate can mean your primary residence and a plan for that, but also rental real estate. Do I want to use real estate as one of my investments?
And it could be a duplex that you own in town or some sort of local real estate investment, or it could be a real estate that you own in your Schwab account, like through a real estate investment trust or something like that. I like the idea of incorporating real estate in a portfolio. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not suitable for everyone, but I like having discussions about that.
Yeah, and it can be a nice diversifier.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about investments all day, every day, so we can maybe skip over this one. But, you know, investments are very important. They are the vehicle that drives the financial plan. It's the growth engine. Retirement, we talk about that quite a bit too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that should be the first one up there, right? The highest point, because it's about the retirement and the plan and am I on track and all those things.
Yep. Insurance. So, you know, we are insurance licensed. Mm-hmm. We don't do very much of it, but we are life insurance agents, aren't we?
Yeah, and there's definitely a group of people out there that need life insurance and need to have the proper insurances in place. So I think it's definitely something that needs to be on the list.
Who's your favorite life insurance salesman in a movie?
Oh, wow.
If we had a really great production crew here, we cut Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. Yeah.
Ned Ryerson.
The good one.
He sees someone he knows. He's like, hey, I bet you're underinsured, aren't you? Hey.
He's probably not wrong.
Hey, do you have any universal life? All right. So insurance, you know, we do need to make sure that, right, the foundation of our plan is strong, right? So, you know, what happens to my family if something happens to me? What happens to my income if something happens to me physically?
Right.
Right? What happens with, you know, long-term care.
Yeah, but that you brought up good points. It's not just life insurance, right? We have clients who are on disability insurance, you know, people who need long-term care insurance. There's a lot of different types of insurance that can be used to protect.
Education, we'd say, you know, college funding, right? College planning. Mm-hmm. So our favorite tool there is a 529. 529s keep getting better and better.
Yeah, there's a lot more flexibility with them now than when they first came out. I mean, you can use them K-12 education if you do private school. And unused money now has the opportunity to potentially get into a Roth IRA for the beneficiary. So in my mind, that's it's exciting to think that I can help jumpstart my kids' retirement savings plan with unused 529 money.
And for that reason, like all these benefits of the 529, I have a junior, right? You have a senior in high school. I have a junior in high school. I'm sitting here thinking, how can I pay for college separate, like, and let the 529 ride? I'm like, this thing is so great. I want it to keep going. But, you know, that's what it's there for.
Right. So.
But it's just kind of, I find myself thinking about that.
I've done the same thing. How can I, because the limit right now is $35,000 into a Roth IRA. So I'm thinking, okay, how do I just save that $35,000 and use the rest?
Right. Gotcha. And taxes. This is like the new hot topic. I mean, maybe it's been years, but I feel like it's the new age thing that as an advisor, we should be talking about. So when you come in for a meeting, bring your tax return or send it to us in advance in PDF form. We have, you know, our secure upload link. We want to see that tax return. Why?
I mean, it just helps us get a better understanding of the complete picture, you know, and what types of things you're eligible for or not eligible for, what kind of tax bracket you're in. Does it make sense to do Roth conversions? You know, things like that become so much more clear if we have a return that we can look at.
Yeah. What is the consequence next year when your RMD hits? Yeah. You know, what if you do a qualified charitable distribution? What if you do a Roth conversion? Mm-hmm. What if you take a withdrawal from your IRA versus a withdrawal from, your joint brokerage account?
Right.
What if we're able to manipulate our income and get on Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True.
What if we can live off the IRA and delay Social Security?
Mm-hmm.
Return is the key.
Yep, it is.
And sadly, a lot of these people talking to you, trying to do your taxes on your own. Okay?
Yeah.
When we just listed those five or six questions, do you know the answers to those? Probably not. But your CPA, with us,
will know, yeah.
Can be your tax team, and we can optimize all those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, debt. So I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? The script is right here. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about debt, and does it make sense to pay off the mortgage? Does it make sense to make an extra payment?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get it gone? Like that, right. Get it gone by the time we retire.
Right. Yeah, I think those are some big decisions. Do I keep the debt? Do I pay off the debt? You know, if I keep it, what's my plan to pay it off? You know, it's because you know, for different people in different situations, it can go any of those directions.
It can be a breaker. It can be a deal breaker.
Yep. Without a doubt.
Or it could, by using too much leverage, you could be sunk.
Yeah.
So.
That's the risk that comes with debt.
Yeah. We'd like it as a tool, but too much is a bad thing.
Definitely.
All right. So I thought this was a fun topic, what people think versus what we're actually covering. And look, we might not cover all these topics in every meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, and even if we don't think about it, even if we don't talk about it in the meeting, we're thinking about it going into the meeting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So rest assured, we're thinking about all these things in every meeting we do for all of our clients. So if you are looking for a second opinion and your portfolio is over 500,000, please reach out to us at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management thanks you for watching and listening to the Trust the Plan podcast featuring certified financial planners Nick Hopwood and Jim Pilot. If you enjoyed our program, please subscribe and share. If you'd like to learn more about our services, please visit peakwm.com, peakwm.com today. See you next week.